O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. I will not leave you orphans, but my delights are to be with the children of men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, today all of Christendom celebrates the glorious feast of Corpus Christi, or the Body of Christ. And we know by faith that God's love for the human race is eternal and undying, for we have God's very word on this teaching. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And the reality that our blessed Lord is on our altars, really and truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is one more proof, isn't it, of this love of God for men. And for this love, we are truly grateful. No sooner was the Sacred Heart formed in Our Lady's womb than even it was inflamed with a burning love which could not be quenched, a burning love for the human race. And one of the great characteristics of this love is the desire to be always with those whom it loves. And so God revealed to us how he desires to be with us. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "My delights are to be with the children of men." And it was this desire which caused the second person of the Blessed Trinity to take a human nature to himself. And it was this desire that led him to spend his earthly life of 33 years with us. But to him, these 33 years would not be enough to satisfy this desire. He must do more. His love, as it were, obliged him to do so. And so the night before he was to die, he instituted the Blessed Sacrament so that he could be with us all days. And before he ascended into heaven, he said, "I will not leave you orphans." In fact, they say that one of the reasons he ascended into heaven was so that he might remain with us in the Blessed Sacrament. It is as if he said to his apostles, and through them to us, "Do not be sad at my departure. My Sacred Heart desires more ardently to be with you than you desire to be with me. And as long as there will be men on this earth, I will be with them all days, even to the consummation of the world." All of the reasons that induced God to take on our human nature had ceased, for the redemption was accomplished at the crucifixion and the death of our Lord. But now it is the desire to be with us that induces him to perform the continual miracle of the altar in the Holy Eucharist. And it is his desire never to be away from us as long as this world exists. He has ascended to his Father. Why else does he return every day to this earth invisibly, if not because his delights are to be the children of men? One author tries to, a spiritual author, tries to prove the vehemence, the degree of this desire of the Sacred Heart by saying, "This desire of our Lord's heart must be very violent when it can continue to exist in heaven where all desires are satisfied. Jesus Christ must indeed love men passionately since he puts himself daily in a humble and obscure state on our altars in order to satisfy the excess of this tender love." Now, our Lord is also the source of all blessings, and he desires to be with us also so that he may give us these blessings. Saint Bernard tells us that, I will show you every kind of blessing, but in what other place except in the Blessed Eucharist can you find every kind of blessing? And then you hear the words of our Lord, that holy invitation that we read and love so much in sacred scripture. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. One might even say that it suffices to be poor and afflicted and miserable and wretched creatures to have the right to approach the source of all blessings, and that it is enough to be unfortunate and needy to be well received. When we read the Gospels, that's what we see page after page after page. He didn't spend his days with those who were wealthy or those who loved to have a good time. He spent it with all of the wretched people that you could find, the outcasts of society. When we read the Gospels, we don't necessarily remember that those people that were outcasts at that time are the same people that are outcasts in our society, the poor, the sick, and all of those things. But we see how he spent his time with them. Think Zacchaeus. He was hiding high up in a sycamore tree as our Lord passed by. And our Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for this day I must abide in your home. The Samaritan woman, she was not even permitted to draw water from the well in the evening when all of the other ladies did, because of her sinful life. She was forced to go out in the daytime. But our Lord was there waiting, wasn't he? And as she was drawing water, gave her the waters of his heart. Or Mary Magdalene, who was so spurned by the Pharisees and by all of the town. But our Lord was there and drew her to his most sacred heart. The more wretched their state, the more right they had to approach our Lord. And so even today, in the Blessed Sacrament, we who labor under many imperfections and are burdened with the heavy weight of many sins, we who can never seem to lift ourselves from the mire of these sins, we have a right, our Lord gives it to us, to approach him in the Holy Eucharist. And we can expect that as long as we have just an ounce, a little glimmer of goodwill left in our hearts, that our Lord will change us, as he changed Magdalene and Zacchaeus. Now, to conclude, how then ought we to show our gratitude to our Lord for all that he gives us by his presence on our altars? It seems to me that the only sufficient return for love is to love back. Our love for our Eucharistic friend is not merely something sentimental, but love of God must be practical above all else. Many of you, thanks be to God, already prove your love for our Lord by your attendance at Mass. The fact that you are here today is because you love our Lord. And this on a devotional feast that is not of obligation. But we must seek to love him even more, and never cease until our dying breath. We should seek to love him, how? By living your life as a continuation of Holy Communion. One of the saints would, after receiving communion, he would spend half of his week in thanksgiving and half of his week in preparation for his next Holy Communion. And so by living from communion to communion and looking forward to our next one, then we avoid many sins. Think of that. If every time a temptation came into your mind and you remembered, well, I'm planning to go to communion tomorrow or the next day, wouldn't you be more likely to fight the temptation? It's a good preparation, and we should always call that to mind. Or whenever a cross comes, think of your next communion. Bring something to our Lord, a cross patiently borne. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so, by living our Holy Communion from day to day, that will help us to do that. And you will thereby make yourself a more perfect friend of the God whose delights are to be with the children of men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.